Thank you for giving this opportunity to give a talk. I'm glad to be in the perimeter. So today I'm going to speak about the one work that I've been significantly pursuing for the last couple of years. So this is about the trace formulas in mathematics from supersymmetric localization. So this is the work in collaboration with Leon Taktajan in Stony Brook. And this is based on the work published in last December, and also work going to be published in this this fall. So these are the table of contents. First, I'll give a very general introduction and motivation, try to understand. Okay, try to persuade why this is an interesting problem, or this is an interesting question to ask. And then, actually, we'll present some new kind of supersymmetric localization principle, which could be quite general, and then which is quite counterintuitive. And in the third and fourth part of the talk, we will be the giving an explicit demonstration of the trace formula, which is respectively related to integrable and chaotic quantum mechanics. So supersymmetry is a global symmetry between bosons and fermions, and is one of the very richest richest symmetry in physics. And independent of its phenomenological status, this will be still very important concept in theoretical physics or in physics, because it depends our understanding of strongly coupled quantum field theory in general by able to solve many non-trivial observable exactly, and also it has a very like non-trivial and Fourier interaction with pure mathematics in both directions, and so. One thing that related to this both aspects is about the supersymmetric localization. So what this means is that when you have a quantum field theory is a supersymmetry, and then you can, there are large class of path integrals in that you can compute exactly, because usually path integral is so hard to compute because it's an infinite dimensional, but within aid of the supersymmetry, there is a continuous deformation of the path integral, which allows you to reduce your infinite dimensional integral to a finite or tractable one. And this gives you the computation of many non-trivial observables. And also both physics and mathematically, very important concept in supersymmetry, and also one of the most basic thing is the Witten index. So Witten index is a difference, great difference between bosonic and fermionic Hilbert space with the e to the minus beta h. So it's like a gradient canonical partition function. And in fact, when your Hilbert space is discrete, then it's only sensitive to the ground state. So actually, Witten index encodes the cohomology of the ground state. And when you have a like supersymmetry, then the other theorem give you the supercharged Q, which is a fermionic. And from the supersymmetry algebra, the fact that your supercharge is fermionic, and then your supercharge is roughly a square root of your time translation. And actually, this two physical aspects is what happens, what is also natural in mathematics. This Q gives a natural interpretation as a Dirac operator. And your Witten index is nothing but a mathematical generalization of the such analytic index of Dirac operator. So one monumental outcome from this perspective is a physical proof of the Artiesinger index theorem. So what you consider is in the context of quantum mechanics, you can consider a very simple supersymmetry quantum system with bosons x and the fermion psi. And X is living on the target spin manifold for them. And this is usually clinical half sigma model. And there is a very simple supersymmetry you can check, which is a symmetry of the action. And if you quantize it, then your supercharge operator is become a famous Attias Singer Dirac operator on spin manifold. And this interpretation tells you naturally that Witten index of this quantum system is nothing but a field matter awarded Attias Singer index. And actually, then there is a path integral representation. And this simple path integral representation admits a supersymmetric localization. And roughly, in this case, supersymmetric localization is equivalent to taking the high temperature limits. So this infinite dimensional integral becomes reduced to the constant modes in the field configuration. And this becomes your topological psi of the SCR index theorem. So I highlighted this very textbook stuff because I'm going to change the gear completely. So with some very unfamiliar territory in physics. So it is an interesting historical fact, and if mathematics, a very non-trivial result, dealing with full trees without any grading of elliptic corner has been established from a very long time ago, from Jacobi Poisson and to Selberg, Askin, and many. And still, it's a very active area of research. So independent of the spin geometry and Dirac operator. And so the most basic type, so what is a trace formula? So trace formula is most basically consider some curved manifold with a constant curvature. And the mathematical statement is that consider a very simple setting a Laplace operator on the manifold. And then there is a natural eigenvalue, which is bounded from below. And then you can naturally define the trace over this e to the minus beta Laplacian. And the statement is that there is a non-trivial representation of such trace. That's a trace formula. So in physically, this is nothing but a quantum mechanical canonical partition function of pure bosonic particle moving on a target manifold M. So this is statement has become surprising because mathematicians told us that in some cases your non-trivial bosonic quantum mechanical system can be fully analyzed. So, and this is like given information about your whole spectrum. So this is more powerful than supersymmetry. But here, this is purely bosonic, so that's some puzzle. So the more amazing thing is like it also deals with both integrable and the chaotic system. So even though the manifolds in considerations are constant curvature, but there are both system whose eigenvalues of Laplacians are exactly solvable. So that's the definition what I'm calling integrable. And also in many huge classes, eigenvalues are not analytically solvable, and they roughly have a random distribution. So that's what I call chaotic. So in the integrable case, the most famous case is when G is your manifold is a compact Lie group. So, and this will give you the Jacobi Poisson or Askin formula. And for the chaotic case, most simplest example is when your manifold is H2 upper half plane moded by their discrete isometry. And this is the most general formulation of the Riemann surface with a constant curvature. And here we only focus on the case where Riemann surface H2 mod gamma is compact. So I'll give explicitly. I'll explain what the trace formula is from the. So this is the undergrad stuff in free analysis. So we all know that from quantum mechanical course, the Laplacian on the circle has an exactly known spectrum with a quadratic behavior, and then so partition function is we know exactly what the partition function is, and also from Fourier analysis, we also know that this partition function has a different representation, which is called Jacobi or Poisson formula, which is also given by infinite sum with a different integer. So this is a very elementary example of trace formula. So now, when you consider your manifold to be a semi-simple Lie group G, you can also consider the Laplace operator delta on G. And also at the same time, because G has a many global symmetry, so you can also at the same time introduce the conserved current R. So this twisted partition function also, and in fact, because G, we know everything about G, actually the spectrum is isomorphic to the irreducible representation of G. So your this partition function or trace has an exact spectral representation. So which is the second line, which is the second equation of the first line. And the non-trivial result that has been established by this mathematician was that it also admits a Poisson or Jacobi-like formula. So there is also, so this is roughly equivalent to the infinite sum over some dual lattice gamma with some similar exponential behavior and the prefactors. So this is a non-trivial trace formula on G. And okay, to mathematicians, most famous and the fields meta awarded trace formula is a Seleberg one, because now you don't have any access to the spectrum. So you have nothing to write in the spectral side. You just define abstractly what the trace is. But he found that there is a non-trivial representation of such full partition function of Riemann surface as a three distinctive contributions. And these contributions are related to the what kind of elements in isometry you are modeled in gamma. So first one is your trivial, is roughly correspond to trivial isometry, and the second one is roughly your hyperbolic isometry on upper half plane. And third one is elliptic elements. So roughly, when you have a third element, then your manifold is also have an orbifold. It's like an orbifold. But the thing is that in any general, this uniformized Riemann surface, there is a this well-defined, there's a trace, non-trivial representative trace, is a very surprising result. Because this also give you the information, now this give you the information about your chaotic spectrum. Okay, I spent some time to explain what the trace formulas are, and then these three are the main example we are going to, I'm going to deal in this talk. And then mathematicians did a lot of work, so it's interesting to look at what is a physical interpretation, because we all know that this is all about the statement in canonical partition function. And people realize that the right-hand side of all this trace formula, it somehow resembles the exact, almost like stationary phase or semi-classical approximation of the path integral. So what I mean by this, so when you have a path integral, so our case is only have a bosonic variable. So your path integral is roughly a standard kinetic term with a periodic boundary condition. So then what is the stationary phase of kinetic boundary? With a stationary, this periodic boundary. This is nothing but a closed geodesic on your manifold. And if you look at closely to this first formula, Poisson formula, then I think many textbooks already deals with this example, But your Poisson formula is nothing but actually the semi-classical approximation of the path integral, and it's exact. And this is trivial for the case of S1 because in the case of S1, it's a flat and it's Gaussian. So your path integral, Gaussian path integral, is completely well-defined and exactly solvable by summing over classical solutions. But what is untrivial is that when your manifold is curved, like G, even G is non-trivial because there is no reason to have a such interpretation as a sum over closed geodesics. And even more confusing one is when you have a Riemann surface. And then what Gutschwiller realized was that your second term also resembles, your hyperbolic term also resembles the sum over geodesic. But so far, there is no known physical interpretation of first and third term. I mean, physical, I mean approximate physical interpretation. So this is our physical motivation. So what is the, is there any secret? Or I think it's worth to understand more from the more genuine path integral point of view, where all this come from. So can there be a unifying framework that explain all these developments? These basic developments, and so I told you in the very beginning, at the first slide, what the supersymmetric localization is. Roughly, it's a localization reducing the infinite dimensional path integral to the finite dimensional one. And so this is a very close in spirit to the stationary phase or semi-classical approximation, because that is also all about sum over your finite solutions of like equational motions. So maybe some dream is can there be a supersymmetric localization way of understanding this exact formulas precisely. So if you have any experience in supersymmetry, and then there are many objections that this is a crazy thing because very reasonable. So first, to our best knowledge, SUSY path integral in any dimension has been only localized along the solutions of the first order PDE. But closed geodesic is a second order PDE. So it's hard to imagine that SUSY localization give anything about trace. And also trace formula in the basic formulation deals with only purely bosonic system. So bosonic partition function. So there is no fermion. So there is nothing, it seems like nothing to do with SUSY. And so if you want to introduce a SUSY and then use some techniques from SUSY, then generically you're changing the problem because your Hamiltonian will be changed and spectrum will change. So trace is changed. And SUSY localization also can handle super trace, which is a technical thing. And most importantly, unlike the index theorem or other SUSY observable, trace formula deals and sensitive to the full spectrum of your quantum field theory or quantum mechanics. So this is the introduction why this is a worst problem to think about. So I'll now give off news, what is a new SUSY localization is. So elementary remind what the supersymmetric localization is. So this is a way of computing the supersymmetric observable in the supersymmetric quantum field theory. So suppose you have a observable with an expectation value of this operator O1, O2, dot, 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 then we all know that there is a natural path integral representation. And if there is a, and the definition of the supersymmetric observable is that these observables are annihilated by Q. Then when you have such property, then it can be shown that your partition function can be deformed by the exact delta Q of V. So The proof is very simple. Proof is nothing, generalization of the Stokes theorem. And effectively, you get the second line after hitting the partial derivative on the deformation. And the reason why the second term is zero is because we assume that your observable is supersymmetric. So this is the secret behind why localization works. So then, okay, then it seems like it's it's not proper to ask this such kind of question. What if we relax such condition that observable is supersymmetric, or this is non-zero in general? So actually, all compute every arbitrary non-supersymmetric variable. There are some condition you can impose, which is milder than the supersymmetric condition, but still being non-supersymmetric. But then it admits a new kind of localization, which I'll explain. So namely, so there is a many variation, but in a simplest setting, we can consider following situations. So when your supersymmetric quantum field theory has a Fermi zero mode, and it doesn't matter how many number of them, you should have at least one Fermi zero mode. And then I'll also require that this fermion, this observable you are interested in, this non-SUSY observable, their non-SUSYness, which is measured by delta O, is annihilated by this Fermi zero mode. These are the two conditions that I'm going to make. Then I'm claiming that there can be a deformation that your path integral with this observable also isn't, the value is not going to be changed. So this deformation V should have a two constraint. The first one is that it is invariant under the del square or Q square, which is, so this is nothing, this is roughly physically same as this is commute with Hamiltonian, and this is a standard requirement that is already familiar in ordinary SUSY localization. However, the second one requirements are quite new and constraining. So we claim that if V also has a satisfied condition that it doesn't contain, the V and delta V doesn't contain any Fermi zero mode, then this path integral will be invariant under such a more constrained deformation. And this is quite constraining, and we'll see explicitly that this will give a new structure like that is quite unfamiliar for exotic. So this is the general idea. This can be applied to any QFT, but I'm focusing on the quantum mechanics. So we'll talk about the integrable trace formula. So integrable trace formula, simplest example, I told you already, is S1. So although we are interested in the pure bosonic particle on S1, I'll consider the simplest SUSY generalization, where you just add a single Majorna fermion. And there is a very simple supersymmetry, which in the second equation. So now, what is a non-SUSY observable we are going to choose? So we are going to choose a non-SUSY observable as the following. So it's a trace to the minus 1 to the f times fermion times e to the minus beta h. So So recall that if you didn't have any fermion in the trace, then it's a fully supersymmetric, and in this case this is the same as the Witten index. However, you are now going to introduce a fermion, And this is completely non-supersymmetric. However, if you play with this second supersymmetry, these rules, then one can show that this observe all satisfied all the conditions that I mentioned in the new supersymmetric equation principle. So this means that this path integral also admits a deformation. But before asking about path integral, the motivation for considering this non-Suzy observable is that because we are interested in the purely bosonic trace on the circle. But actually, because your system is so simple that it's almost decoupled, so this trace is roughly factorized from between bosonic and fermionic part. And so it's actually, in our normalization, this is actually identical to the trace on the circle, bosonic trace on the circle. So then question is clear. So then the claim is clear. This path integral has a continuous deformation, which give you the Jacobi-Poisson formula by choosing a very smart deformation. And the deformation has to satisfy the condition that this doesn't have a fermionic germode that I mentioned in the principle. And this naturally forces you to have a following class of deformation where V is a x double dot with psi dot. So that means your deformation has a x double dot square plus psi dot psi double dot. So just to comment is the usual ordinary deformation so far has been considered in the history of supersymmetric equalization is containing at most two space-time derivatives. But here you have four space-time derivatives. Why this is useful? First, this is the only way to satisfy the condition that I imposed, that we need to impose. So this is an invariant deformation. But moreover, it's intuitively clear that if you increase the magnitude of the deformation, your path integral will be localized along the equation of motion, which is x double dot equals zero. This is nothing but a closed geodesics. So your path integral will be effectively, after the localization, will reduce this to the closed, sum over closed geodesics. And rest of the procedure is, you can also found for any textbook in quantum mechanics. So then, really, one can give a new intuition of such trivial formula. So left and right hand side, from using a quantum mechanics and supersymmetry, can be continuously interpolated. That's the message. So from this success, our paper in last December was to consider also including S1 to similar a more complicated integrable system, which is in your target manifold is compactly grouped G. So I already told you explain what the formula is, and it's a little bit complicated what the last formula is, but the physics is in the late half of the 20th century have like thought about the interpretation of what the right hand side is. Actually, what they realized, what they concluded was that this formula is roughly is in the equation 2, which is roughly a semi-classical approximation. And up to this time-dependent exponential factor, which I'll discuss in a moment. So this is the physical interpretation. So it'll be really also, so this is very intriguing that also it seems like there could be a similar localization principle that explains trace formula on G. So then, because the curve space G is a curve space, this is not entirely trivial Gaussian system. And that's also related to the fact that there is this curvature and time-dependent term e to the minus beta r. And this is historically called Dewey term. So what history in all these people found in the path integral is that if you only consider bosonic system, then you cannot just write down the path integral in a naive way as in the first equation. You need to correct by some counter terms. In this case, this counter term is proportional to curvature. And this is this counter term is order of h bar squared. It's a purely quantum mechanical effect. So this is the prescription that every people in working on path integral curve space has to deal with. And we'll explain that supersymmetry naturally explained is precisely the amount of counter term from the algebra point of view. So then to do that, we need to think about, as in the case of S1, what kind of SUSY system will be related to the pure bosonic trace on G. So one natural or most famous example will be the standard n equal half supersymmetric sigma model on G, which people use to prove the RTI Singer index theorem. However, such action is not good because it falls into one of the objections that I provide at the beginning. Because as soon as you introduce fermion, then your Hamiltonian becomes not Laplacian, but Dirac-Laplacian. So then this is nothing to do with the original trace over the pure Laplacian. So this is not a good candidate. But actually, there is a geometrical idea that has been established by Cartan and Chotin that there is a way to change the connection from Levi-Civita to the one with torsion. And actually, a certain amount of torsion, then your connection will become flat. So then there is a two choice of flat, and we'll choose this minus parallelizing connection. And in this, and what is surprising is that if you replace such connection by such a deformed connection, then still the same supersymmetry holds. The simple linear supersymmetry holds. But most useful thing is that effectively this fermion is decoupled, or effectively secretly it's a free fermion. So now this is good because then we are just this SUSY system still a supersymmetry, but the spectrum also still contains the original full spectrum about the bosonic Laplacian on G. So then because you added this torsion, then naturally your supercharge is also deformed. And in this case, you have an additional cubic term in fermions. And actually, this is a very famous Dirac operator in mathematics, in representation theory, which is called constant Dirac operator. And what this gives, and what mathematicians already knew, is that such Dirac operator, their natural Hamiltonian from the algebra, is not a Dirac Laplacian, but a scalar Laplacian with some counter term, with some constant term. And the miracle is that this constant term is actually the Dewitt term that people found in a crazy like discretization of the path integral in curve space. So there is a very natural explanation in terms of SUSY in this case. So this also justifies the way to think about the, even though the original motivation was a purely bosonic trace, you have to think about the introduction of the supersymmetry. It's quite natural from this point of view as well. So then we already taken care of the Dewitt term. Then everything else will be, the idea is that then everything else, some of the geodesics, will also come from the supersymmetry localization. So similarly, since this is also a number of group kind of free fermions, so there is a fermion zero mode, as in the case of S1. So now what we consider is, again, we consider the Witten index, but with the fermion inserted. So this is also already known SUSY observable. And similar to the S1 case, this is proportional to the bosonic trees up to Dewey term. And this has a natural SUSY path integral representation within some action. Okay. I'll probably explain this action. So J is a conserved current on G. This is like a generalization of the kinetic term X dot in the case of G. And H is kind of a chemical potential, which is dual, which correspond to the conserved charge R. And so roughly, your action has a free bosonic term, free fermionic kinetic term, and this interaction. And this has a supersymmetry.
Can you go back one slide?
Yes.
The other one.
Yeah.
Okay, similar. Yeah, so is the number of fermions zero modes even, or is it all even, or you can have odd zero modes?
This case, even or odd, including both.
But then if it's odd, there's a sign ambiguity.
Yeah, that's right. So that's some one-solid theory. That's a good point, because there is no natural Hilbert space when you have odd number of minor fermions. So what do you naturally deal? But there is a two way to think about it. So first, path integral is completely well defined. So path integral with a fermion inserted has a definite value. Or other way, we also.
But there is an anomaly from minus one to the f.
Yeah, yeah. So that's same as there is on Hilbert space. But the path integral itself as a Grassmannian integral has a definite value with a single, even you have a single minor fermion. Like for any spin structure.
You're computing the greatest one, though.
Here, this is a Raman fermion.
But you have trace minus one to the F times the fermion.
Right.
I think there is some sign issue, but I mean, it's not important.
Here, there isn't, yeah. I mean, one way to, any actually, there's an auxiliary way to evade all this problem is just add a free, if you have own number of fermion,
yeah.
And just add a pure, just like, yeah, decouple Myron fermion, then you can quantize, right? That's a good point. But so your one point is then actually you can all do with n equal one supersymmetry because this everything is decoupled, so you can just double the fermion. Then there's a well-defined Hilbert space, but here, for minimalist point of view, just single real supercharge was enough. So anyway, there is a supersymmetry and there is a deformation that satisfies all the constraints that we discussed. So actually, the minimum of this delta cube V will be the equation governing the geodesic, closed geodesic, which characterizes the lattice gamma. So this path integral will be naturally sum over the lattice, and then it will reproduce the trace formula on G. So actually, all this part of the talk, I gave a talk several times on last spring, so in many places. So are there any questions before I begin to new subject? So I'm going to talk about the chaotic trace formula, which is a work to be published. So I'll just give you, because it's too technical. Okay, details are technical, but the idea is simple. So I'll give you what is the idea. And I think it's quite surprising. So first, what people call trace formula in mathematics, or Seebeck trace formula, is all about the locally symmetric space, or constant curvature space. And in the case of general HN mod gamma or H2 mod gamma, the spectrum is highly, there is no known exactly known spectrum, which is chaotic. And then important, trivial point of view for mathematics, but which will be important in our case, will be that this space can be realized as a double coset. So double coset, I mean, there is a two Riemannian symmetric pair of G and K. So G mod K is a standard homogeneous space by Cartan. And then there is a discrete subgroup by gamma. And we are only interested in this case when this X is a compact, but up to some orbifold. Now, in the case of Selberg, when you have a Riemann surface, this geometrization corresponds to G is SL2R and K is SO2R. So this is a trivial fact in math. But anyway, we'll use this. So the first point is following. So we're first trying to understand the G. When note that SL2R is non-compact group, we did and Askin did only for a compact Lie group because then the state is bounded from below. But actually, Krauss and Marinov analyzed in the case of non-compact group G and the Laplacian on non-compact group. So spectrum is unbounded, so there is no mathematical sense or physical sense what the partition function is. But still, it's a well-defined unitary quantum mechanical system. So there is a propagator, and so there is a real-time propagator. And what they found what they mathematically proved is that such real-time kernel also has a similar Askin-like formula for any semi-simple Lie group G. So this is quite surprising. So actually, you can prove this using the Suzy localization in a similar fashion by rewriting the propagator in terms of trace. But only difference is that in this case, the space is non-compact. So you have to deal with the constraint base to loop, which is roughly you have to fix your initial and final point. But similarly, there is a Suzy localization principle, as I described in the case of compact, which also give you the localization in the case of real time. So the caveat is that this is a path integral in the purely Lorentzian time. So this is purely oscillatory. But still, mathematically, you can add an arbitrary, highly oscillating term, then also localization works. Then the natural, and then the thing that we realize, which is very nice, is that actually the model that we have considered has a natural symmetry such that the Lagrangian and the supersymmetry is invariant under the projection from G to any discrete group gamma. And in a representation theory, G mod gamma, and especially when this is compact, this is a very rich space to consider. So actually, similarly, because of the same reason, you can consider the trace formula on G mod gamma in real time. So now our ultimate interest is the compact Euclidean Riemannian locally symmetric space, which has a bounded spectrum from below. So natural intuition is that we can geometrically engineer such a Riemann surface or generalization of it from the gauge sigma model from G mod gamma. So G mod gamma and G were described by the sigma model. Nonlinear sigma model. Now we introduce the gauge field correspond to the K. And this here A is a connection of such gauge field. And we claim that this model will give everything about the known trace formula in mathematics. So let's look at what this model is. So you can canonically quantize such quantum Suzy quantum mechanics, and the Hilbert space will turn out to be given by following form. So L2 is a standard L2, but minus half in the subscript means that this is the automorphic form on the Riemann surface with a weight plus minus half. And there is a decoupled fermion, which is not important. So in this Riemann surface, actually this gauge sigma model, supersymmetric one in Riemann surface, has this natural Hilbert space. And this is quite natural because then this is nothing but a spinning particle on Riemann surface. So there seems like nothing new. I mean, there seems like nothing much. Like because we are ultimately interested in, initially interested in the automorphic form with zero, which is about Laplacian, scalar Laplacian. Now there is an idea from the there is an idea from quantum field theory, and you can insert the temporal Wilson line defect, and actually then your Hilbert space will twist it, and after the canonical quantization, surprisingly, what you get is an automorphic form of k minus 1 over 2 or k plus 1 over 2 and the free fermion. But still, there is still pairs up here, so we don't want this. So this, we can consider this partition function and insert the free fermion. But still, this will be the sum graded term, graded sum. So toward the Salvo trace formula, okay, this is the we think it's a surprising thing, is that surprising claim is following. If you are interested in single this zero weight, this full Salvo trace, pure, then you need to consider the following observable, which is quite very unusual. So it's a kind of, it's a fermion, free fermion, times a composite of the Wilson operator. So fermion is natural because we did already in the case of integrable case. But it turns out that mathematically we can prove that you can insert such a singular Wilson line, and then it magically, so this is a non-supersymmetric observable, but this will extract you the only the sector, the Hilbert space that you initially wanted. So then rest of the task is technical, but the speed is the same. So you have this non-Susi observable in Lorentzian time, and then you can have a fermion Germod. So there is a new supersymmetric localization principle. So then actually there is a deformation that give you the Lorentzian time version of the Selberg trace formula. All three terms are precisely obtained, can be obtained from this gauge sigma model perspective of view. So in fact, the construction on, this is not only for the construction of Riemann surface. So actually the insertion of the operator was construction for the Riemann surface. But such operator can be generalized to the arbitrary pair of gamma GK, and also can be generalized to the, it doesn't have to be a scalar. It can be any weight or any representation on this locally symmetric space. So even what is more, okay, mathematically, what is more interesting could be that people have been, so it has a long history, but people only have been able to write down the explicit trace formula for the case of rank one space. So example of rank one is a Riemann surface or hyperbolic surface, HM on gamma, something like that. So when you have more than one rank, then there is no known mathematical or known representation theoretic tools to write down the explicit traces. So I wonder this formulation can, this path integral, because this is quite, doesn't require anything about gamma GK, so having some new insight to those such such problem. So I think this is the end. So there are many interesting and challenging direction, I believe. So SUSE localization is still active. SUSE supersymmetry is an active area of research. But I think the deformation with a higher derivative should be more investigated, because already this already gave a non-trivial result in quantum mechanics. So maybe I suspect there will be more to discover. So especially trace formula in quantum field theory, the larger equal than 2 will be very interesting. And mathematically, trace formula for non-compact space is very rich subject. And this is also very interesting, because this is naturally related to the analytic number theory, arithmetic normal theory. And so there are many interesting happens, for example, like a fundamental domain on Riemann surface. And also finally, because this naturally deals with the full spectrum and especially doesn't care about whether system is integrable or chaotic, so maybe this will also answer some many questions on chaotic properties of QFT in general. So thank you for your attention. Oh, any questions?
Yeah. So your starting point was that supersymmetric normalization computes not only observable that are invariant, but also those that are covariant with some simple enough variations, right?
Covariant? Okay. I'm not sure it's a co. Yeah.
I mean, so the variations.
Yeah, variation is there. Yeah.
Right. So, and then you use that to compute observables in Poisson theories, right? Now,
yes.
Are there new observables in supersymmetric theories from Poisson theories which we can compute using generalized normalization?
Yeah, that's a wide possibility. I haven't explored any. I mean, no known. I mean, from the well-known like SCFTs, right? Yeah, it could be, especially if your SCFT has a Fermi zero mode. So, but probably okay. But caveat is, you're okay. I don't know what SCFT you're imagining, but the SUSE localization only apply to Lagrangian SCFT. But I'm sure there will be. Yeah.
Have a right away example
of the classical observables that can be computable. Yeah, I don't. I have nothing intelligent to say about that. But that's definitely an interesting direction. I mean, it would be really great if there's some non BPS observable. Non BPS, no. And SUSE thing can be computed from any 3D, 4D. I know many problem solve many problem in especially in 2D. But yeah.
The conditions that you wrote for the generalized normalization, here we have like a condition of B.
Yes.
Zero or something. Are these just like technical restrictions? Or do you understand where they come from? Whether this is not true?
Yeah, this is actually very simple. Actually, very simple, because this is just the consequence of the existence of Fermilux zero mode. So when you have a Fermilux zero mode in the path integral, so if you are any observable in the integrand doesn't have a Fermilux zero mode, then this is zero, your integral. That's a basic Grassmannian fact. So I'm just using that. and it's a path integral version. So the all the constraint conceptually, okay, although it's a technical, conceptually is all about the fact that your integrand after the deformation still doesn't have a Fermi zero mode. That's your constraint.
And the second question is, sorry, I don't know if you said it, but does this apply also to other types of massive open?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it applies to any, and in the case of, for example, in the case of Riemann surface, it applies to any Laplacian of any form or any up to half integer. But you have to change the observable, but you have to slightly change the observable, like Wilson line, this thing.
So in the case of the sigma model, when you did the article on
Lucci,
so that there was a result that was known before without the set of solver and whatever.
So actually,
it was known, but it was not using your method. You read it out that using you showed rigorously why that holds using localization.
Okay, I did. You mean in
the
met?
Was known, and if it was known, how did people compute?
I only, okay.
This is
the
other one, the next.
In the G, they use the first way in the mathematician, they derive was you know the spectrum, and there is a formula called Weyl character formula, so you can introduce. So you introduce other some change, it's like a standard manipulation. So you use theorems in group theory to get.
I can make a comment. In the case of usual localization, sometimes you can choose different deformations.
Yes.
They give the answer, but that's expressing two different looking ways. Of course, it's the same formula.
Yes. Yeah.
I wonder if you can find a new Choi formula, whatever. I mean, just find a new deformation, which the answer is a sum over different saddle points.
Yeah, that'll be. But so far we just like got the actually so what we get from the localization, okay, I'll tell you some detail about the okay, G is actually give a already known formula. Exactly. Like a Poisson. But in the case of for example like a Riemann surface, what you get is like some kind of matrix integral. But actually mathematicians don't know Selberg don't know anything about matrix integral. But actually what he obtained is actually equal. So it's like something like that. It's a different representation. Actually, yeah, that's your right. So this actually give a different representation over some mathematical quantity. But using some like math techniques, you can show that they are equal.
The thing different is that you can choose different deformations and on one side you get like a discrete sum and the other with a continuous integral.
Okay. Actually, okay. I haven't thought about. Okay. Actually, it seems like for me, so far it was there was only like one optimal choice. Other. Because it's quite constraining. The constraints are quite constraining. But this is what usually, yeah. Yeah. So actually, so in the SUSY case, the cases are rare to have a. Two computable deformations.
Think of like Higgs branch and Coulomb branch localization.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I think when you go to the higher than quantum mechanics, I think there could be a different deformation, like whether you varying over like gauge multiplied or matter multiplied. I think that's a possibility.
So. Yeah.
as part of the shared process.
Are there any other questions? You know that's tech, try again.